Oh, God is so good. I'm so glad to be here this morning to worship with you and want to share with you from the book of Acts. We're getting close to the end now. There's one more message planned to come out of this study. But today we're looking at Acts chapter 27. We'll begin reading in verse 14. Time to give you a little background. We've been following the church, the development of the early church and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And prior to this, Paul has appeared in court before Festus and King Agrippa in Caesarea. And he wound up there, of course, by preaching the gospel and the Jews getting very, very angry at him for his preaching. And ultimately, he's arrested. He stands before Agrippa and winds up appealing to Caesar. As he had that right, meaning he knew he was going to die if he stayed where he was. And so he appealed his case to Caesar, which was his right as a Roman citizen. And so now, as we pick up in chapter 27, Paul is on his way to Rome under guard of the Roman soldiers. And it's come to that time of year that they're supposed to stop sailing. You see, the Mediterranean in about November becomes very, very dangerous. It's dangerous because of course, storms. And these are hurricane-type storms. And it came to that time of year. They estimate it was late October. It was pushing that no-sail date. Okay? And so they wound up at Crete and a place called Fair Havens. And they had discussed, should they move on? Should they try to go farther? Now, the place where they were, Fair Havens, it says, was not a good place to winter. And so they were motivated by, we don't want to spend the winter here, so we're going to press forward. And that's what they decided to do. And so we pick up reading, they're sailing bound for Rome. They know they're not going to get there before winter, but they're getting as far as they can get. Verse 14, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? They've started the journey. And it says, but before very long, they're rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euryalo. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda. And scarcely were able to get the ship's boat under control. Now, that was, of course, the dinghy, the lifeboat that would have been attached to the ship. That's all they could do to hold on to that dinghy. And verse 17, after they hoisted it up, they used supporting cables in undergirding the ship. And fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Sirtis, they let down the sea anchor and in this way let themselves be driven along. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of being saved was gradually abandoned. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice, and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would guide our understanding as we look into your word this morning. Give us insight. Speak to us, Lord, from your word. Grow us in your word. That, Lord, we may become stronger in our faith, that we may become more mature in our faith, and that we may share our faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. All right. Of course, the title of the message today is I Believe God. And I was tossing between two sermons, The Storm or I Believe God. And, well, it wasn't two sermons, it was two titles, right? So this is all about the storm. And the thing about the storm, if you're going to go through the storm, you better believe God. Okay? Because sometimes that's what's going to get you through the storm is your faith, knowing that God's still God and that He has all things under His control. So the first thing we're going to look at today is the severity or the severe storm. And Paul is, as I said, Paul sent to Rome and they were hit by this very violent northeaster. And if you understand what that, the idea there, I guess up north they have nor'easters, what they call nor'easters. And that's the idea of this wind that they're being attacked by. It's cold. It is a heavy wind. It is heavy rain. It is horrible sailing conditions. Next door to a hurricane type situation. And it's so bad that they have lost control of their ship. Now, of course, you know, ships were powered by sails in that day. And at this point, they've lost control because of the wind, and they just had to throw up their hands and let the wind drive the boat wherever it wants the boat to go, right? And so they've been fighting this for an extended period of time. As a matter of fact, it's been about 14 days since they've even had time to eat or think about eating. They have thrown cargo overboard, which was their livelihood. You didn't do that. But if your life's on the line, cargo don't matter anymore. It was so serious that they threw the ship's tackle overboard, you know, and that being, of course, stuff that you would use to sail the ship. They have done everything that they can possibly do and everything they can possibly think of to save themselves. And the storm just keeps on pounding, day after day, for 14 days. They never, during the daytime, see the sun. It's just cloud, cold air, and rain. At nighttime, they don't see the stars. It's just clouds, cold air, waves, and rain. And day after day, they have been so violently abused by this storm that it says they abandon all hope. Man, that's a sad place to be, isn't it? You ever been there where you just, it don't matter anymore? They're given to the fact, we're not going to survive this one. We're dead men. We don't know if it's going to happen today, tomorrow, but this storm is going to kill us. Now, first thing I want us to ask is, what's going on there? And the answer to that question is, Paul is being tested. Okay? Paul is being tested. We tend not to appreciate the storms, right? Do you ever just stop and say, Lord, thank you for this storm? Do you ever go through storms? Do you ever stop and say, praise God for the storm? Probably not. But you know, it's not a bad idea. Because there is a purpose to the storm that you're going through. And faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. You know, we talk about faith and we talk about, oh, I can endure this and I can handle this. But you really don't know if you can or not until you face the storm. You don't know your spiritual state. You say, oh, yeah, I'm mature in the faith. You don't know until you experience the pressure of storm on every side. You see, storms are a test. This test will demonstrate who you really are, not what you think you are, and even what others think you to be. But it will demonstrate, it will bring out what's really down deep. And that's what's going on with the Apostle Paul here. But I do want to tell you this at this point. If you're in the storm, life's not what you want it to be, and you know, things are going what most would consider just wrong, just terrible. And if you're not there right now, just hang on. You probably will be at some point, right? God does not test you so that you can fail. He tests you to prove you. Okay? Now, by that, I mean, God's not up in heaven saying, watch this, I'm going to overpower him. Watch this, he'll never get through. That's not who God is. God's allowing you to be tested to prove you, to demonstrate to you as well as to the world that you are what you say you are, and or to bring to surface those things that you're not, that you should be. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 puts it like this. Paul writing, he said, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. I've heard people interpret that as being, well, God won't put more on you than you can stand. That's not the context of that verse, okay? That word escape, it's not about having a way out. The idea of the word in that context is a way to bring about the desired end. God will give you, when you're going through the storm, when you're being tested, God's going to give you a way to get to the desired end. So that when you get to that desired end, you will have honored and glorified God through the storm. And even grown from that storm. As I said, faith is very easy to talk about. But buddy, it's harder to walk when the storm's raging. Right? Peter comes to mind. You remember Peter and Jesus telling Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. You remember what Peter said? No, not me. Lord, I got it. I got it under control. I'm good. I can handle it. My faith is stronger than that. No, Peter, you don't understand. No, I'll never deny you, Jesus. What happened? I love Peter's word in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. When Jesus said, you're going to deny me, Peter said, even though all may fall away. You remember that? All may fall away. I will never fall away. Peter had that. He had the confidence. But it wasn't the confidence that he needed at this point, because the very same night, Peter denied even knowing Jesus three times, let alone having a relationship or being a follower of Jesus Christ. And boy, when he denied him for the third time, it says he went out and he wept bitterly. Why? Because he found out who he really was. That's what that storm did for him. You know, I ask you, do you really appreciate the storms? Storms are hard to appreciate. We live in Arkansas, right? Our spring times are sometimes very exciting. It can be day after day as the spring weather moves in. We hear about tornado warnings. Tornado warnings today, tomorrow, you know, several, and just a string. And you're like, is this ever going to end? Well, when we're talking about spiritual storm, that's what we're talking about here. Is this ever going to end? Am I going to get through this? Is this ever going to end? And it brings things to the surface like doubt. Have you ever been in the storm and you thought, Lord, can you hear me? You ever thought God's not listening? You see, that's called doubt. That's a lack of faith. And it's good for that to come to the surface so that you can recognize that and grow from it. Have you ever complained in the storm? Lord, why me? Why me? Everybody else is doing fine and I'm serving you and you're letting this happen to me? Discontentment. Fear comes to the surface. Lord, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. Appreciate the storms. Look at what they bring to the surface and view it as an opportunity to honor the God that we love. Amen. There's always a purpose. Number two, you always need courage. And a storm is a courage builder, but courage, you need the courage to face the storm. You look at Paul's courage, you know, as I said, this is a ship in a hurricane, right? And everyone's panicking except Paul. You ever notice people that are like that? It just doesn't seem like it matters what happens. They're good. They're not worried. And then there's the people on the other side of that a drop of rain and the sky's falling, we're all dying, right? Paul was one of those, that's no big deal. Not worried about it. God's God. He's in control. Everybody else is throwing cargo over the side of the ship. Everybody else is throwing the ship's equipment over the side of the ship. Everybody else is putting ropes around the ship to strengthen the hull of that ship. But when everybody else has done all they can do, look at what happens. It says they abandon all hope. I'm about doing everything you can do. But when you trust yourself in doing everything that you can do, and that's all you have to trust, when you get to the end of doing everything you can do, guess where it's going to leave you? It's going to leave you without hope. Isn't that pretty interesting? See, at this point, they're ready to die. It's over. We can't do anything else. Paul's still cool. He's still good with it. Paul never said, oh, boys, we're going to die. Why? Why? Because 2 years before this, when Paul was first arrested in Jerusalem, God made him a promise. You know what that promise was? God made him a promise that, well, in Acts 23:11, it says, on the night immediately following, that's following his arrest, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, and you must witness to me at Rome also. See, Paul had a word from God. And in this word from God, he knew he was going to Rome. Now, he didn't know how he was going to get there. And at this point, he might have thought, I may have to swim to Rome. But he knew he was going to Rome. That's where his courage was. He had God's promise. Listen, so at this point, he's just riding the boat. He's surrounded by terrified people when he's like, man, I'm going to Rome. It's good. It's going to be okay. So now Paul's got to decide, what am I going to do with these other guys? And that's when he encourages everybody else. He encourages, he first says, and I love this, you ever told somebody, I told you so? That's what Paul said. See, when they first, before they started this journey, Paul said, don't do it. It's going to cost loss of life, loss of ship, it's going to loss of everything. Don't do it. They wouldn't listen to Paul. So when Paul speaks at this point, he's like, boys, I told you so. Should have listened to me, but you wouldn't listen. And I don't think Paul's being sarcastic, but he's simply pointing out to the people that, guys, you probably should listen to me because I know things you don't know because I serve a God that you don't know. And Paul knew what was going to happen. And so now he's going to have to, he looks at him and he speaks words of encouragement to these people who wouldn't listen to him before. Verses 23 and 24, Paul tells them, this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me saying, do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Isn't that cool? Now, Paul already knew that he was going to Rome from the promise 2 years earlier. God just reminded him of it and gave him something else about the rest of the people that were sailing with him. Okay? He said, Paul, you're still going to Rome, but not only are you going to make it through this storm, these people are going to make it through the storm because of you. Wait a minute. Really? These people are going to make it through the storm because of you? Yeah. Do you realize your faith is a demonstration to people of the God that you serve? And when they see your faith in action, it's inspiring to bring them to faith. It matters. It makes a difference. And Paul's encouraging these people. He's giving them something they need to hear. And I'm reminded at this point that, you know, there were a lot of people going through that storm. It wasn't just Paul. Do you ever think when you're going through the storm, you're not the only one going through the storm? I'm going to give you a secret about storms. Okay? Sometimes in storms, it's all I can see. Boy, life's hard. This is bad. I don't like where I am. I don't like where I'm going. I don't like how this is going to turn out. This is terrible. And it's all I can see. But when I realize it's not about my storm, it's about those people around me and how I can affect those people around me. You see, I'm blessed when I stop looking at my storm and start ministering to others who are going through the storm. It's amazing. Y'all know where I've been the last 6 months, you know, and I've had people suggest, well, you know, just take a break, Brother Doug. Back off and you get what you need, the surgery. But I've discovered something. The worst thing I can do is sit at home and meditate on my storm. Think about what I just said. The worst thing I can do is sit at home and think about my own troubles. The best thing I can do is get up, get going, and minister to other people. That's the best. Because, see, that takes my mind off of it. I quit feeling sorry for me, and I start looking toward other people and being compassionate toward other people. And listen, I appreciate those who are concerned about me and say, take it easy, Brother Doug. And I do. But what a valuable lesson for a storm to teach you. It's not about me. It's about loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Then finally, you've got to have an anchor for the storm. This is the good part. This is where it brings everything down to what you need to go through the storm. There are three anchors you need for the storm. Okay? Acts 27:23 that we read, it says, "For this very night, an angel of God, anchor number one, to whom I belong, anchor number two, whom I serve, anchor number three, the angel stood before me, whom I belong, whom I serve, and he told me, and number three is, I believe God, that it will be exactly as God said." Three anchors that you need to get through the storm. Number one, Paul belonged to God. He was a child of God. We use that term being a child of God very loosely, right? Are you saved? Yes, I'm a child of God. But do you understand the idea and the profound nature of that statement, being a child of God? When, as a father, I have learned through the years, being a father, being a grandfather, ooh, that's good stuff. I love being a father. I love being a grandfather. And I've discovered no matter how old I am, my kids are still my kids. My oldest, Adam, he's about to turn 40. Ooh, that was old. You know how I still see him? I still see him as my child. And I still love him as my child. And apparently that's never going to change. I love him. I love all my kids. Love all my grandkids. And that's never going to change. And then I thought, oh, what about God? How does God look at you? You know God loves you? When you're going through the storm and waves are crashing and it's really, really tough and you don't know what to do, just back up and say, you know what? God loves me. And there's nothing even Satan himself can do about that. I love Romans 8:38-39, Paul said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Listen, if I love my kids, my love's not a drop in the bucket compared to the love that God has for me and for you. Because God is love, according to the Word of God. And you need to know, because when the storm's raging, you think, does God care? Yes, He cares. He not only cares, He loves in a depth and a level that this world can't understand. As my father of my children, I want what's best for them. When they do well, it blesses me. I still am glad to hear good news, you know, and hear good things going on in their lives. I rejoice in that because I want what's best. And I'll do anything I can do to help them get what's best. Oh, but I've got a Father in heaven that wants what's best for me, even above and beyond what I can want for my own children. Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Do you know how to give good gifts to your children? Do you? Oh, come on. Come on. If y'all are amen, I'll hurry up, okay? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, do you know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? You see, I've got limitations as to what I can give. I might be able to give my children a limited financial support. Ah, but my Father owns the cattle of a thousand hills. I might be able to help my children in some project that they're doing. Oh, but my Father can do all things. You know, that's our God. And that's the God you've got to hold on to when the storm is raging. Because you'll be pounded on every side. Give up, quit. God doesn't care. Most importantly, as a father, I'll never abandon my children. Now, there are some roads my children will go down and I'm not going to walk with you down that road. You know, I disagree with that and I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to abandon you. I'm still going to love you and I'm still going to be your father. Hebrews 13:5. God has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You see, these are anchors you've got to have. Because there's a storm. But I promise you this, when you hold on to these anchors, they will get you through the storm. Not only did Paul belong to God, he served God. Second thing, second anchor. He served God. He was where he was because he was serving God. What I mean? All right? See, we tend to think that if I'm where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I won't have any trouble. There won't be any storms. Wrong. That's not how it works. Sometimes storms come because we obey God. You realize that? Sometimes storm comes because we do what God directs us to do. Paul was in this storm because God told him, you're going to go to Rome. So Paul's on the boat, the storm comes, right? So don't be surprised when that happens. But let me give you this. When that does happen, be encouraged. Why? Mark chapter 4, Jesus told his disciples, let's go to the other side. Talking about the Sea of Galilee, right? You understand they had a boat. This boat was not much more than a big John boat, right? But Jesus told his disciples, let's go to the other side. And while they were on the way, a storm hit. Jesus went to sleep in the stern of the boat. Jesus was sleeping through the storm. And the waves got to coming over the side of the boat and they were sinking. They wake Jesus up and say, Jesus, Do you not care that we're perishing? And Jesus, Mark 4:39, Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." The wind died down and it became perfectly calm. That's our Savior. What can you learn from that? Yeah, storms may come because you follow Jesus, but storms are also an opportunity for Jesus to display His power in your life. You see, had the disciples not gotten in that boat, they would have never seen Jesus say, "Hush, be still," and those waves calm. Listen, I want to see Jesus do awesome things, don't you? I love to hear testimonies about things that God has done in people's life and how He's delivered them from things. And, you know, that's encouraging. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. But you're not going to get that testimony on smooth water. It comes during the storm. Oh, but when it comes, buddy, you've got a testimony that not only changes your life, but changes those who you share that testimony with. So when it gets stormy, watch for Jesus. Third anchor, Paul believed God. Here's what you got to have. Bottom line, this is the most important thing. You've got to believe God. That word believe, you know, it's the same word that's translated faith elsewhere. But the idea of that word is trust. To simply state it, Paul's simply saying, "I trust God. This is what God told me. We're going to Rome and everybody on this boat's going to get out with me. And I trust God that it's going to be exactly as God says it's going to be." Listen, you may not have an angel appear to you, but you do have a word from God. You know that? Really? You got a Bible full of words from God. And there are some promises here that will carry you through the storm. And when you're hanging on to the word, you'll see as God performs what He says He'll do. For example, Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, we abuse this scripture and say, well, you know, God's working everything out for my good. That's not what it says. Okay? God's working out all things for good for those who love the Lord. Now, what do you believe about that scripture? Just asking you, do you believe that scripture is 100% accurate? We do not believe that all things might work together for good. We do not believe that all things can work together for good. We believe that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. We believe that means we trust God. God's still God. He's working. He's still on the throne. And you may not have the angel, like I said, give you a special vision, but you do have promises like this. God's working. So when you don't understand what God's doing, you can just back up and say, okay, I don't understand, but God's working all things out for good. When you're discouraged, you can back up and say, I'm discouraged and I'm hurting, but I know God's working all things for good. You see, we have promises. Promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promises, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And when we face a storm, we have a choice. We can go through the storm and glorify God, or we can fail going through the storm and do it again. I've discovered in ministry that You see, not only does God not give you storms or test you to make you fail, He'll make you take the test again if you do fail. Do you know that? He'll give you another opportunity. Failure is not an option. Glorifying God is the only option. I know the storms are real. I know sometimes life's hard, you know? And sometimes when we're going through a storm, we think, you know, nobody understands. Nobody's walked in a mile in my shoe. Well, yeah, they do, okay? There is no temptation that has come upon you that is not common to all men. Okay? You're not special? Well, I guess maybe you are special. Okay? Special enough God died for. But you're not unique so that you're going through stuff nobody else has ever gone through. Okay? And the thing is, God has never forsaken His children and will never forsake His children. Don't let the devil lie to you. God's still God. You face the storm. Be courageous. Trust God. And let God be God. And when you come out the other end, what happens? You look back and all that stuff you didn't understand, a lot of times you understand it. And when you look back, and if you still don't understand it, I believe with all my heart that when you get to heaven, you can ask God and He'll explain it to you. Right? There's a purpose behind it all. Finally, you cannot face the storms apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have a friend that is closer than a brother. And in this friend that is closer than a brother, He's there. He's there. He provides strength when we're weak. He provides help when we can't help ourselves. He is faithful. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ, you need to take care of that today. Because, beloved, a storm's coming. I don't mean that to sound negative, but the storm's coming. You're going to face the storm. The question is, are you going to face it alone or are you going to face it with the Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord? I would encourage, Jesus died so that you could have eternal life. He sacrificed Himself so that you could have a relationship with God. And He issues the invitation, come. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call on the name of the Lord today? Maybe you're going through the storm. You need some time in prayer and just intimate conversation with God. The altar's going to be open during the invitation. Whatever your spiritual need is, Jesus is the answer. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. Oh my goodness, it's good to be Your child. We thank You, Lord, for the strength that You provide when we don't have strength for ourselves. We praise You, Lord, for the storms in which we learn, in which we grow. And we praise You, Lord, for the anchors, knowing that You will never leave us nor forsake us. And now, Lord, You knowing the condition and the position of everyone present here today, I just pray that You would answer every need. Father, those going through the storm, help them to realize that You're there. And if they're not saved, Lord, give them the courage to call upon You. Father, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.